One, two, three. Friends.
Oh my, that's right.
Blooper. Blooper.
No, because it's like you all put your hands in.
Yeah. One, two, three, friends. Okay, well, hold on.
One, two, three, friends.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
I got Tammy and Aaron.
Hey, hey.
Hey, the Drew Crew's here. We are ready to record. We have a lot of fun ahead of you. We got a great interview. And what we just did was a little bit of a teaser to come for what you're going to hear in the episode. Right, girls?
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, these guys are great. Not only are they a fantastic band and a group of guys, I got to sit down with two of them, the lead singers from the band, and flesh out some of their music and some of their experience on the road. Tammy, I know you got a little preview. Listen.
Yes.
What did you think of the interview? What should a listener listen for?
Ooh, well, I think the listener should listen to how you have a band interview from another country.
Oh, yes. I had a first full-fledged international interviewing experience. And I mean, it's Canada, but let's not downplay that.
No.
Hey, that's still international.
That's still
international. Right? Their home is Canada.
They're our favorite people. They're just right up there.
Our neighbors to the north.
Yes, yes. Exactly. You know, they speak just about the way we speak here in Wisconsin. Just a couple more A's, a little more draws, maybe. I don't know. I was trying to ask them, like, do you hear a difference? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, well, I know we say both a little weird, but. So I do want to say if they're listening for something, the listeners listening for something, you're going to hear an accent in there. And I thought it was quite charming as I was interviewing them. I didn't think I'd hear these words, and you do. It gave me a smile to listen to something like that. Was there anything in the interview aside from the international aspect that stuck out to you though?
One of my favorite parts was the story when they were talking about the hotel or motel they had to ditch in Minneapolis.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
And like they were just there for seconds and already had left.
Yes.
And I can piggyback off of that. I'm known, like I love to travel and go to state parks and do all these random road trips and see like roadside oddities. And to save some money, I will purposely stay at these crappy motels. So I can relate to their story of how fast they wanted to bolt. The thing is, I have not bolted, and I've stayed at these shady places with blood on the sheets and broken windows and, you know, drug deals going in the parking lot. But their story was great because they're like they had this look, and like one of them thought maybe they could stay, right?
Yeah.
And,
well, I don't want, let's not give too much away. Let's hear the story.
You
so.
Hear you'll hear it soon. Okay. Just keep listening. But it's a if anybody who likes to travel and likes a good motel story,
it's coming up.
They've got one.
All right, awesome. Long Range Hustle has such a great and unique sound. Again, with the two lead singers, Aaron, how would you describe to a new listener Long Range Hustle?
You know, one of the things that I will say about Long Range Hustle is that I can't entirely describe them. Oh. And that's one of my favorite things is finding a band that I cannot quite say, oh, it sounds like these guys, yes, or it's just like that. You know, they are a kind of indie alternative rock type act. But their instrumentation is a little bit different. They have a lot of piano driving the songs. They've got really nice heavy drums that come in then. And when you listen to them live, they've got this energy and this excitement to them that just makes them so much fun to listen to. And yet you can sit down and listen to the recordings and listen to the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so much meaning there. So, I mean, they just take it to a whole other level with that big sound, that high energy, but also just that easy listening. And I think you called out a really important point. They have multiple lead vocalists, which
that.
Is really unique, and they do it really well.
They do, yeah. So, and that's something to listen for. I was curious how one decides who sings lead on a song, you know? And so they kind of talk about that a little bit in the episode as well. So,
yeah. So, I mean, they're so much fun. I had to call this out, though. So as I was doing some research, I love these guys, but I didn't know a lot of their background. Mm-hmm. And I was reading an interview from, I think, a year or two ago, and they described an audience member describing them as Dave Matthews Band meets System of a Down.
Oh.
I'm not sure I agree.
Okay. I'm not familiar with System of a Down much.
I wouldn't put them in the System of a Down category, but it made me laugh a little bit. Okay. So I don't know. Listener, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, they're about to find out. That's really good, Aaron. Thank you. Any other tidbits on that at all?
That quote stood alone.
That quote stood alone. Okay.
But no, I mean, they're a great sound to them. Every song has something a little bit unique that they bring to the table.
Sure.
And they talk about that too. That's one of my favorite parts of the interview, is talking about taking what you want from a song.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'll let them explain it better than I ever could. Mm-hmm. But, you know, thinking about everything that they pull into that song, what you take away from it is up to you.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's so cool.
And they're just very personal.
They were.
They're very easy to talk. I mean,
nice guys.
We just met them last summer.
Yep.
But I feel like, especially after hearing the interview, you know, you just get to know them more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. And like you said, nice. And I want to give a shout out to Mark at Appleton Beer Factory for allowing me to interview them. This is where it got to be done. So we talk about that a little bit in the episode, but we kind of recorded on the fly. So please forgive any sound errors that might be coming your way. But I think we turned out something pretty good and pretty mm-hmm. special. So like you said, Aaron, unique sound, hard to describe. So I'm going to let the listeners figure that out for themselves. I'm going to play a little bit of their music coming up here, and then we're going to have Long Range Hustle interview. I'm going to play a few more of their songs, and then we'll be back to talk about them and a few other things after that. So
perfect.
Stay tuned. Jump into things. I know you guys are on tour right now and you have an album out, and there's just lots to talk about. I think you guys are awesome, and I wanted to bring that forth to my listeners as well. Like I said, you're from Canada, and we're here recording in Appleton Beer Factory right now. So I just wanted to point out, we may be abruptly stopped if you have to do sound check. So
this is, you know, a real live touring situation.
Yeah, right on. Let's just kick things off. What's the story behind the name Long Range Hustle?
Ooh, the age-old question.
The age-old question.
Paul, are you going to lie this time or not?
For a long time, every time we got asked that question, it became a fun game to invent a new story and be on the spot and do like a little improv game. But I'll give you the real scoop. Years ago, we started the band in high school, and like the high school version of the band is pretty indistinguishable from what it is today. But at the time when Jay and I were just like playing in little coffee houses, I was playing pool with some guy who was kind of pool sharking everyone. And he was playing like really, really badly, and kept saying like, oh, well, like I'm just playing the Long Range Hustle, which I'd never heard, but he explained it to me as just being having this mindset of, you know, obviously you're going to have a lot of little setbacks, but you know, you're playing the long game. And he was. He was much better than me. But he made it seem like he wasn't.
Turns out that man was Michael Jordan. So pretty big deal. I had to lie at least once in the story.
But yeah, I mean, that's I think for us, that's like the actual story of where the name came from. But the name has kind of become something more for us, like in that story of, you know, being an indie band. You'd put a lot of time and effort into slow incremental gains and building a following, and that long range hustle mindset kind of became a thing that we really stick to.
It's kind of embodied the band at this point, which for better or for worse. But yeah, it is sort of like taking your lumps and knowing that it's worth something in the
end. Sure. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. Sometimes bands don't always like to leave that a mystery. And I always thought it was an awesome name. And then just as I was getting ready for this podcast, I'm like, wait, what does this stand for? What is their meaning?
Whenever you're going through something, just know that you're playing the Long Range Hustle.
There we go. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. And it's the only thing that comes up when you Google it.
So that's key. That's key. Yeah. All right, you guys are on tour right now in the States. You just came from Minneapolis. I heard there's a little story there, though.
I got to say, if we sound rough and disjointed and like our brains aren't working, it's because we drove from there last night and arrived today at 6 a.m.
6 a.m., yeah. One of the tricky things about touring, especially when you're touring in places you've never been before, so, you know, this is kind of our first longer form tour through the Midwest. Never played in Minneapolis before and had a great show at the Turf Club. But you don't really know sort of like where you should be. And I accidentally booked us one of the roughest hotels we've ever seen. We walked in, sat in the room for 10 minutes, and we're like, I don't know if this
it was
is
even, good. We didn't get to the room before. Yeah. It was like, uh-oh. I think it's funny because like, there's always a part of every city that's like rough, you know?
Sure.
And you never know where that is. I'm sure St. Paul is a great place.
Yeah.
We drove through a lot of cool looking spots, but when we arrived at the hotel, there's, you know, a few drug deals going down.
Oh, yeah.
Guy
in the lobby on the phone telling someone that it was safe to go to sleep now. And we were like, that shouldn't be a question. That should be the default.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to specify.
That's extremely ominous.
So how long were you there before you're like, we got to go?
Seconds.
Seconds.
I personally was like, I think we're fine, but I'm glad everyone was like, no, we're not. I don't want to get robbed.
I think our personal safety would have been okay. I think we would have showed up in Appleton sans all of our gear.
Okay. Yeah, it would have been sad times.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But it was a blast doing the overnight drive. Okay. You know, sometimes that's a scheduled part of a tour.
Yeah.
It's never been a last minute decision until last night, and we just Jay was rocking the hardest, awesomest playlist.
I have the
I've
sickest playlist.
Heard.
It's coming out soon.
Nice.
It's gonna be
live DJing.
Yeah, no, it's not that good. Just terrible music to keep Ryan away because
sure.
He's driving.
Hey, I was looking at your profile on Spotify, and I like the you guys must curate a playlist for people to listen to, right? There was the Porch Sitting.
Yeah.
Porch Sitting.
Yeah. Out back.
I don't even remember my friend Tammy. She's co-host with me, but she's got a porch, and I sent that to her, and she's like, yep, that's it.
It's good vibe.
Yeah, good music on there, too. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to ask about your bus. You guys call it the Magic School Bus or Magic Cool Bus, right?
Legally,
right.
We can't call it a school bus.
Yeah, right. But you guys gutted this thing and kind of fitted it for you guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, AJ really kind of took the helm with that with, I don't know, AJ, with John. His name's John Schouten, but he's like a big car guy. So he was able to get a hold of an old school bus and they ripped all the seats out and put in like a partition wall so we could put all our gear in the back
sure.
And then a couple bucket seats. So it's kind of like, you know, like Pimp My Ride level.
Okay. Very
you know,
nice.
Renovations.
They're nice and yellow.
It's good branding. Cause you know, when we were in Appleton last summer for Mile of Music, we're driving down, you know, the mile in this yellow school bus, and everyone's like, oh, that's Long Range Hustle, because they're the band that travels around in a school bus.
I was curious, what's it like to travel as a band on a bus? I really wanted to ask, who has to do the most driving, or more so, who drives the least? Like, who drove last night to get here?
Ryan drove last night. He's got a hero complex, though, so it was like, I could do all 5 hours. I'm a man.
Ryan will drive until you force him to stop.
Yeah. Okay.
He's like falling asleep, but he's like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But then sometimes when you have to last minute drive overnight, everyone's like, actually, thank you a lot.
Yeah.
Go for it. But yeah, it's pretty even, except a big thing that we do in the bus is we play Dungeons & Dragons, like constantly.
Yeah, okay.
So the trade-off for being a DM, our bassist, Mike, Paul's brother, Mike, he doesn't do a lot of the driving because he's running the show.
You can't be a DM and also focus on the road. Sure.
Yeah. So we give him a break there, but he's putting in work, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah. Sending us in a fantastical realm of fantasy and magic. Yeah.
All right. Good deal. With that said, I was reading on your website, just to point out, I think this is kind of cool. And to be on the road anyways, you guys have a motto, no matter what roadblocks try to come in front of Long Range Hustle, they put their hands together and shout 1, 2, 3 friends.
That's a literal thing that we do. Before every show, we get together around the drums and we all put our hands in the middle and say 1, 2, 3 friends, hands up. And it is one of, I was about to say the dorkiest thing we do, but that's, I don't know.
You've just heard the dorkiest thing that we do.
We just talked about how we play Dungeons & Dragons all the time. So it's the second dorkiest thing that we do. But
we don't do cool things.
Yeah, we're not a cool band.
I think just getting on stage and performing is pretty cool. So give yourselves a little credit.
But I think, I don't know where that started. We've done that for like 10 years.
It was like a stupid joke and it was just like, it's like one of those things, like most memes started as like just a meaningless, like, ah, ha, ha, it'd be funny if we did this. And
right.
Then you're like, you keep doing it and it stops being a joke and then it starts being really like genuine.
Sure.
And so I think it's a moment that we get to have before a show.
Well,
to,
absolutely.
Like,
it's really centering and the handful of times I think we've sort of hit a point as a band where we pretty rarely, if ever, have bad shows.
Okay.
And the handful of times that that's happened, we've been sitting off stage after being like, we forgot to do the 1, 2, 3 friends.
That's the problem.
That's that's what happened. It really like puts everyone in the right mindset to be like, we're all friends, we're all here, and we're gonna rock this show.
Yeah. I grew up playing hockey, so it's like the thing you do before a hockey game, you gather around the net, you're like, let's go, guys.
Sure.
This one's for the Gipper.
Well, I'll be watching to make sure you guys do you do it backstage, or you said around the drums?
I don't know. What do you think? What should we do tonight?
Do it
backstage,
right up front?
Up front? Do you want to be a part of it?
Yeah.
I could be.
Drew's in.
Am I
Drew's
a friend?
In.
I can do that with you guys. Oh, I'm not going to screw up the mojo.
No, we'll do it with the room. Let's go. Okay,
there you go.
Yeah. We'll invite the entire audience onto the stage. I'm sure Levi, the sound tech, will love that.
Yeah.
I could take you out. Town, I could walk you home and tell you lies about myself. We'll wrestle with the thought, let's surrender to the dark. Wake up in the morning and question who we are. Oh God, am I a piece of shit? And how do we come back from this? Oh, it's not all right. Oh, How do we get over this?
I want to talk about your music a little bit too here. You guys have great songs. Just the lyrics and the melody, everything about it, just it's so great to listen to. One of my favorite songs is Crush You. Mm-hmm. And some of the lyrics out of that, you know, I'm curious about this song and if there's more behind it. I'm pointing out, then you turn to me, drenched in kerosene, pressing flint to steel, and we are on fire. And then I specifically like the line, oh God, I'm a piece of shit. But not just because it's a great line, mm-hmm. but your delivery when you're singing that, Jay, mm-hmm. At the end, I don't know, the slightest way you emphasize shit just gets you curious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on this song? Like, whose creation, where did this come from too?
I mean, it's a confessional. I mean, it's a real thing that as a young idiot, you know, you make mistakes in relationships and with people that you love. So that's really where that song came from. And it's, I mean, the way I say piece of shit is like genuine. Like I had to, you know, I think you have that thought whenever you make a, you know, you hurt somebody you care about, you kind of go, oh my God, like what have I done kind
sure.
of thing. Right. So
yeah.
It's like, it's a confessional sort of like a genuine feeling. The drenched in kerosene and lighting ourselves on fire is like, you know, you've crossed the point of no return, you know,
mm-hmm.
you've made the decision and now you're on fire.
Yeah. So when I guess I'm curious, the last line is, and we are on fire. Is that like in reference to you as a whole or like the other person?
The other person.
The other person too?
It's a love story about some. Yeah. It's an old love story. It's weird. I've never talked about this on a podcast. This is so weird. She's married now, which is it's kind of crazy.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a relationship I had with someone when I was like 20, 22.
Okay.
Yeah. It burned out quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing.
Yeah. I think that's as far as I want to go with that.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'll add, when you're talking about the delivery, this is just a humorous component of this. Sometimes when we're on tour, we have our buddy James, who's an incredible touring sound tech, come with us. He's not on this tour with us, unfortunately, but he knows our songs inside and out, and will, you know, modify the mix to really hit certain points. And every time Jay hits that point, oh God, am I a piece of shit? And he cranks the reverb and delay, and it just goes, shit.
He fills the room up.
Nice.
Really, he really makes sure that everyone hears that word.
That's great.
I'm glad you like the song, though.
It's great. It's always good.
What does it mean to you?
I was kind of getting what you just kind of explained. I mean, I could see it dealt with a relationship probably, but when you just pull out some of the lines, I think you can take away anything you want from it too, you know. Mm. So
that's why I love songs.
Yeah.
You know, that's the beauty of it.
It should be available for everyone to relate to on some level. But
it's almost why I don't like to get into exactly what's going on.
And that's fair.
Right?
That's fair. But sometimes listeners too will be like, I was on that same level. Like, I dig that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
no,
it helps
that.
In that factor too a little bit. Let's talk about the band a little bit. You guys are one of the most unique bands, packed with such talent, including two dynamic lead singers who I'm talking to right now. But how did you guys come together? You mentioned you've been friends since kids or kids in high school.
Yeah. Jay and I started playing together at high school coffee houses when we were 16 years old.
Mm.
And that kind of, I think, is the original sort of nugget, the seed that the band bloomed from.
Mm.
But over the years, we sort of evolved to include a number of people that we were really close with. My brother, who I've known for a couple years now.
You guys are pretty close.
Yeah, you know, we've known each other for a while.
Okay.
And so, you know, my family grew up playing music together. And so when our sort of early bassist left, it was just the obvious thing to have him join, because we'd already been singing and playing together our whole lives.
Mm.
And then Ryan, our lead guitar player, we went to high school with him. He was always like a recording tech guy, and he recorded our first high school demos. but on top of being a brilliant audio engineer, he's an incredible guitar player.
Okay.
AJ, who's filming me right now, we met at a camp that my brother and I both worked at, and I still remember this like camp talent show when AJ was pretty young. I don't even, were you on staff at that point? I don't know. And he did a drum solo for this camp talent show and was, you know, a camp talent show is people sort of getting up and hobbling their way through some songs. And this guy does an incredible drum solo. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy's incredible. We need him.
We must steal him for our own. But yeah, I feel like we all kind of grow up in the same area. It's been a long time that we've been doing it. Just growing.
Been a long range hustle.
That's the theme.
How long have you guys been a band then altogether?
So the sort of real version of Long Range Hustle that we sort of know and love today, I think we've been together since like 2015. So about eight years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Basically, our album Town is the lineup that we currently have.
Yeah. Okay.
That's who's on that, and that's sort of what the band is now.
Yeah.
And so it's been
We have one record prior to that that I still really like when I look back on it, but it has like that sort of band's first record feeling.
Sure, totally.
To it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to touch on your creative process a little bit. What's it like writing and putting together a song? You clearly kind of said you wrote Crush You, but do you all work together? Does one person write the whole thing and then you just flesh it out? With two lead singers, like how do you decide who might sing on the track? Like how does that process go for you guys?
I think we sort of have this like slowly evolving collaborative process where I think every song might be a little bit different, but if I had to generalize, Jay and I will usually have like a little song nugget idea, you know, whether that's just a little melody line or a little chord sequence that you have a bit of a hook for. And then we'll often get together and kind of flesh out some like a rough skeleton structure to something. And then we'll take that to sort of the whole band and then really kind of let it evolve from there. Because as a group, we really like to jam stuff out for, you know, half an hour of just uninterrupted playing music and people slowly modifying and evolving their parts until you find something that really clicks. And there's this really magical moment when you've been jamming something for 45 uninterrupted minutes and then everything just sort of starts to click and everyone's looking around the room saying, yeah, this is working right now.
Okay.
It's funny though, because it does change. It's like that's what we say, but like every song sort of clicks at a different moment.
Okay.
You know, if we're talking about lyrics, like Paul and I, it's usually whoever wrote the lyrics is singing the song.
Yeah,
those are usually not finished until an hour before we have to record them because we just are procrastinators. That's just who we are.
There's always a you'll start with something because you sort of need something that spurs the song on, so you end up with like a verse that you really like or a chorus that you really like, and then that is enough to get the song going, and then we're waiting being like, all right, well, like, you never know, the song structure could change and then you'd have to axe this whole verse, so you're sort of slowly writing bits, and then when the song is basically done musically, we're like, all right, this is how much time and space you have to work with.
Sure.
I'm gonna finish writing all the lyrics.
Do you guys generally get to get that song all done like in one sitting like that, or have you ever had a song where like, we got to go away from this, like you just couldn't figure out what you wanted to do
so
with
many
it.
Unfinished yeah. songs.
I would say that that is probably more often the case.
Okay.
than not.
Then is there any song that maybe you do have out that just came together like that, it was super easy?
Yeah, I'm Crush You is like that for
yeah.
sure. There's always one or two on the album that are just like somehow you just pick it out of the air, finished.
I think, I mean, on our most recent record, I remember American Cash coming together really, really quickly.
Yeah.
I think that was the last one we wrote before going to the studio. And I think we'd only worked on it for like a month before going to Tony for pre-production. And sometimes you get lucky and something just is handed to you from the ether.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's most often not the case.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Usually it's a grind.
Usually it's a grind.
And we have a graveyard of songs,
yeah.
you know, on our Google Drive.
Do you ever think you're just going to go back and find one of those and see if
we
can
always
pick
it up? Think we are. And yeah. every album cycle, like there's a couple songs we go back every album cycle and we're like, let's bang this one out. It's really good.
Sure.
I love the verse. And then the album cycle comes and goes and it's still sitting in the graveyard.
Yeah.
You know,
the problem is, I think every artist or band will relate to this, is you're always most excited about what you're doing now.
Yeah.
the songs in the song Graveyard, I think there's some really good stuff in there, but then you're at a removed space from it where the songs you're writing now are, you know, real and moving to you in the moment. So you're motivated to write them and and
trying to complete the thought.
The way that Jay and I write lyrically as well is really heavily influenced by our own feelings and personal experience. And so the further away you get from that experience that you're writing about or the emotions that you're trying to work through and express, the harder it is to really sink your teeth into it. You know, I think the sweet spot is you're grappling with something and you have just enough space to think about it artistically, but not so much space that it feels like a distant memory.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. I have to say, if you ever are stuck for something new to and get that next project going, here's a project idea for you guys. You
yes.
could title the album Songs from the Graveyard and then just work on all those songs.
God.
And that's it.
That's actually a good idea.
Songs from the Graveyard is
that's a badass title.
That's a wicked album title.
TM. No one steal that. That's ours.
Sorry, I'm going to read this. I just don't want to screw up my own question here. Speaking of more tracks, especially from your latest album, I want to talk on the creative process. Something I've noticed on all your albums is usually a track with little lyric content, and specifically I'm thinking of Marlbank. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
And that's on your latest album, I'm Alive, But Only If You Say I Am.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk me through that a little bit? Why do you include that on your album? And I also want to say I love the beauty in the slight instrumental background layered with the subtle capturing of everyday sounds and the moving around. Do you guys know what ASMR is?
Yes.
Yeah. It gives me big ASMR vibes.
Oh, good. I mean, is that good?
It is good. Okay, that's a good thing. Yeah.
Is that okay?
Marlbank was kind of a fun experiment for us because I think the placement on the record, it's basically an interlude before election night, and we, looking at the track order, wanted a bit of a breath before election night started. And so we said, well, let's build out this little ambient moment that kind of echoes some of the stuff that we did on the last track of Town, Welcome to the End, but not 6.5 minutes long.
Yeah. Which that's an awesome track too, just listen to that, you
yeah
know?
I mean, yeah. I think that's something that we like to bring as a texture on an album. I think the album needs to have that like breath at
yeah
some point.
I really appreciate when artists do that. I think it kind of pulls you back in sometimes. Mm-hmm. If you've drifted off from just knowing that the album's on and listening to it, it kind of focuses your attention.
Yeah. And it's a nice, you know, I think treat for people who are listening to the album front to back. You know, it's it's a 2 minute long kind of ambient sampled interlude, so it's, you know, it's not a hit single, but if you're listening to the album as a whole, it becomes a really nice moment.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
It's actually like the recording, the ASMR stuff, it's I remember coming home, and this is like, now listening to it, it always gives me chills because it's basically me coming back home to my parents' house in Tweed, which is on Marlbank Road, which is called Marlbank. And it's me coming home on a Sunday night. My parents aren't home. I just get to walk into my old, you know, childhood home and say hi. And I think, like, I've lived that moment, like, hundreds of times.
Okay.
And so I was recording it one night because the crickets were super loud. And I was like, okay, this is, like, really beautiful. And the sky was empty. And so I was like, all right, I'm just going to record myself coming home, just so I have this moment for myself. And then we started messing around with a bunch of ambient sounds, and I was like, this might work, because the atmosphere of the crickets and the night in a country setting is just like...
And it creates an almost narrative for that interlude where you hear the car door close and you hear the crunch of the footsteps up to the door and you hear the door creak open and the keys settle on the table. And so instead of it just being a strictly ambient piece, there is a textural story to it.
Exactly.
That I really love.
Right. Yeah.
I'm curious, you said you just kind of recorded that, you know, when you were walking through all that. When you put it up the track on, did you have to heighten any sounds, or is that all natural? Like in ASMR, they have to like pull that sound real loud, you know, and like adjust it to really get your trigger going on that. So.
Probably.
Yeah, I didn't do that. Like,
we're not the mixing people.
Okay. So. I will say, gotcha. iPhone's microphones and compression software is fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, all of it, The content is all from...
That's what I was curious. Sometimes they recreate that
sound. We didn't
get
a microphone. No, it was
from a phone. It's funny. I think there's a couple instances of us using sort of diegetic sampled audio on this record. The opening of Half Speed is rain that isn't just a stock rain sound. That's something that we were rehearsing at Ryan's parents' garage, and this big rainstorm kicked in. And so we opened up the garage doors and just quickly set up some mics and captured the sound of the rain as we were working on that song, and then said, you know, that should just be the opening of this.
Sure,
of this
that's
song.
Awesome.
So that was kind of an interesting thing that we didn't really do on any previous record, of all of that sort of sampled
it.
Audio.
Do it again if you want, because I think it's great.
I think we will.
All right. And that's off your latest album, I'm Alive, But Only If You Say I Am. Can you elaborate on this record and the title, actually? Sometimes a track is the title of the album, but that's not the case here.
We've never... done title tracks, which is something that, you know, I kind of like. The album titles for us are usually little lyric moments that we think are particularly meaningful or encapsulate one of the main themes of the record. And in this case, that line comes from the song Comeback Kid, and I'm Alive But Only If You Say I Am was really a sentiment about and this was written before COVID, but certainly like felt particularly meaningful when we were putting the record out, that your life feels only really lived if it's interacting with other people. You know, the experiences you have are heightened and made real when they're shared with other people. And so, you know, I'm alive, but only if there's someone else there to, you know, share that life with, and, mm-hmm. and really sort of, and not necessarily like romantically, just you know,
observe and I mean, it's about wanting to be seen and wanting to be felt and wanting to be understood. I think that's basically the biggest theme of COVID, was us being stuck mm-hmm. in our own heads for a couple of years,
sure.
and then really wanting that human interaction, that like, to understand, like, is this all there is to life? Is just being by myself? You know, I think it's important to, share moments.
The record, like, none of those songs were written during the early sort of COVID lockdowns. But when we were recording the record during the pandemic, it really felt like we had written it. Well, so many of the themes leading up to that is just what we were grappling with personally, you know, in like 2019.
Sure.
And then coming into that, a lot of those songs felt really heavy in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, through 2018 and 2019, you know, we were really busy as a band. And I think that is, it's you spend so much time on this project and this passion and the thing that you're sharing with the five people in the band, but you do miss out on a lot of stuff with your family and your friends, and you start to feel a little isolated. And I think that's why a lot of those songs feel like they're from isolation. Cause that's sort of what we're grappling with in those songs. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. I think our time's ticking down here at Appleton Beer Factory. I did want to touch on one other song and kind of balance out, cause you guys are the two lead singers in the band. Crush You, you're the lead on that, mm-hmm. correct, Jay? But you're the lead on Election Night on mm-hmm. your latest album, right? Talk about the song a little bit. It's one of my favorites, actually.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it's a good segue from what we were just talking about, because I think that song stems from like a particular set of emotions I was really grappling with in about 2019. Is not strictly autobiographical, but I remember watching this election that was happening. I think it was an Ontario provincial election or something. The person that won was standing up giving this speech, and that person's wife is standing at the back of the stage and sort of clapping along. But I really started to look at that person, thinking about everything that they had to give up to support this other person who is, you know, relentlessly chasing this dream that they have. And that was something I was really struggling with. And so Election Night is really about, from that other person's perspective, if you are someone who is chasing a dream, or putting so much of your time and your, you know, yourself into an artistic pursuit, you can't spend as much time with other people. And that sort of comes back to that's I Am Alive But Only If You Say I Am theme. And so that song is a narrative about these characters that just won an election, and one person is realizing that this isn't going to work. Like, my life can't just be about this other person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just the moment of, if a politician wins an election, they no longer just belong to their family and friends. It's like they belong to everyone. So yeah, I think that's sort of obviously a parallel with being an artist and being someone who's chasing, or an entrepreneur, someone chasing something, you know, everything takes a back seat. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, speaking of chasing something, what's chasing you guys down the road? Any more music? I have an album in the works at all? You know, the standard question. You gotta check.
we're working on writing new stuff.
The standard answer.
Right.
I guess the most exciting sort of thing in the short term is we just finished recording a new sort of collaboration with a Nashville artist that played at Mile of Music last year named Tedious and Brief.
I love them. I've never seen them, but they're fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we just did a remix of our song Comeback Kid from our last record with her doing a lot of the lead vocals, and her voice sounds incredible.
And her name is
Jamie. Yeah, so definitely check that out. That'll be coming out probably late May.
Okay.
Sometime around then. But we're really excited about that.
I'm so excited. It's like it's different from what we typically do. It's very like mellow.
Yeah.
And it's not that we don't do mellow things, but it's like electronic.
It really doesn't sound like anything we've ever done before.
I'm very, very,
and
very
pumped. It was an entirely written and produced in-house kind of thing for us. It's going to be an interesting
thing. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that little detail on here. Anything else you would want listeners or fans to know about Long Range Hustle?
I just think people need to...
Have chill vibes.
Yeah, just be chill. Just be chill. Be kind. Tell the people that you love them.
Aww.
Do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once the vibes are very immaculate, go check us out on Instagram.
Yeah.
On just all the places that you would find us, YouTube.
Google. Right. Just Google it.
Just Google
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Google
it's
it.
All there.
You can get the inside scoop on the bus, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on here, and I really encourage the listeners, if they don't know you or aren't familiar with you, to go check out the music. And again, thanks for recording here on the fly. I know you're getting ready for a show, so I want to let you guys get set up and everything.
Thanks for having us, Drew.
Thank you so much, Drew.
You turned to me on election night with powder in your hair. Well, pardon me, and excuse me, ma'am, coalesced out of the heat in the air. I saw you then through a camera lens in chiaroscuro style. In that frame.
face around here in years. But believe me, I've not forgot. You blink and you love in me. I blink and I fall asleep. You blink and you look at me. I blink and I fall asleep. You blink and you look at me.
Everybody, welcome back to the Drew Han Show. I still got my girls here.
Hey,
welcome back. You just heard what a great interview from Long Range Hustle. I just love those guys.
You know, every time that I hear them, I fall in love with them all over again.
Know.
They're just great guys, great music.
Uh-huh. They better get back to Appleton soon.
I know.
Seriously.
I really tried to drill that in. Like, come back here. We love you here. So I was curious how often they get to the States, actually.
Right.
And, you know, not often enough is the answer there. So
I think we can all agree with that.
Yeah. I want to just start things off, Aaron. We left off in the intro with what an audience member of theirs thought the band sounded like, and that was Dave Matthews meets System of a Down. Is that right?
For some reason, that is what they said.
I was not familiar with System of a Down, and so I'm like, this is interesting to me. Aaron, you obviously knew what they were talking about and didn't see it. So while we were on break, Aaron played a song from System of a Down for us, and I will say I don't see the cross there.
No.
I mean, Dave Matthews' band is kind of a stretch. System of a Down is a
big stretch. To meet in the middle, I'm not sure
I'm not sure how they meet.
Yeah.
do they shake hands?
Right. Is it a diverging diamond? Like, when does this happen?
You know? Diverging Diamond. Now that's a band name.
I mean,
maybe they, like, when you think about their name, Long Range Hustle, I mean, that's a long range.
to compare on. Yeah. So interesting. I'm curious what the band would think of that analogy, by the way. So I hope they'll chime in the comments of this when we post it.
Yes.
How they feel about that comparison.
We would love to know.
Yes. One of the things I enjoyed early on in the interview was fleshing out their name of the band, you know, like the go-to question, where do you get your name from? And I respect that they gave me an honest answer, because you kind of heard they tease, they lie, right?
Yes, which is kind of fun.
I think it's fun too, and I totally get it. That's going to be asked a lot, and some bands like to leave that, you know, just out there as a mystery, because that's more of the intrigue, right? But I really liked them explaining that, and I totally get it. And I love the saying. It's almost like a saying to me. Like, I just want to say that now. Like, well, it's the Long Range Hustle, guys. Like, we have time. It's fine.
It was a great little story.
It really was. Something else that I thought was intriguing in the episode, you girls are going to laugh at me because I'm always stupid. True. But I mentioned in the intro that we, you know, they have, they're from Canada, right? So they have that nice Canadian accent, that beautiful sound that comes from up there. One line that they said in the podcast, I can't recall what it was in reference to at this particular moment, but Jay was speaking and he goes, "This one's for the Gipper." Do you recall that in the interview?
And,
just
and
vaguely,
I have
right?
I had no idea what that means.
I didn't know what that meant either, but I'm going to tell you, when he said that, and you know, they kind of laughed amongst themselves. It was a general, like, just go with the flow. You get it. It's fine. Like, just whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, that must be a Canadian saying that I know nothing about. You know what I mean? Like, this Gipper talk, I must be something Canadian. Right. You know? What did you think it was?
Well, when I hear Gipper, I think of a fish.
Okay. Oh, there's a Gipper fish?
I Guppy? Don't know. Guppy? Like, Guppy maybe that's where, like, I have no idea. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, a Gipper or... I have no idea.
Aaron, what about you? Did anything come to mind?
Well, it's a sports reference,
Thank
right?
Thank you. Yes, actually.
Way to go. Yeah.
I couldn't tell you all the details, but yeah. I've heard the phrase before, and it's definitely a like a sports
reference.
Is it
like a hockey thing?
It's a football reference. It's a college football reference. And apparently, I'm just paraphrasing the information I looked up, but I believe a college coach may have been in the hospital, maybe something about on the deathbed. And so he had a team going out to play. And he wanted to motivate them to play. And so he's just in a roundabout way. He says, do this for the Gipper, for himself. His name was his nickname was the Gipper.
Oh.
Kind of in a roundabout way suggested, you know, do this for the Gipper. You know, for a person.
Okay.
And I was like,
win one for him.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Aaron.
So we should have, when we went to dinner, we should have like had cheers to the Gipper tonight.
We'll do that after this. Yeah.
If we get through this, here's to the Gipper.
Yes.
I'm not a sports enthusiast. I do enjoy sports, and I always know general phrases from sports, you know, like Miracle on Ice, you know, do you believe in miracles? You know, some of those classics.
Such a good one.
Yeah, you know, but the Gipper one just, and my dad's a sports nut. I feel like I should have known that one. And so
You should ask your dad if he knows.
I'm sure he does, you know. He's in broadcasting for sports too.
Yes.
You know, so I'm sure he definitely does. So I was shocked that I didn't know it, and I'm stupid to think it was a Canadian thing. I'm like, I thought it was a hockey related, like, Canadian like camaraderie kind of thing.
It would make sense. I mean, hockey right. could still be a sports reference and Canadian.
It sounds like a Northwoods thing, like the Gipper.
Yeah.
You know?
So that was just a fun
it's
little...
like, I'll have the liver and onions and the Gipper. Like, I don't know.
You wanted to make it sound like a fish, didn't you?
I just did. It's a Friday fish fry. Get that at Senior Pub. The Gipper.
For the one. This one's for the Gipper. I just want to follow up with a few things. Like I said, I can't say it enough. These guys were wonderful, and I got to talk to them before and after the podcast and a little bit during the show. The last song I featured in the podcast is a favorite of mine. It's called Election Night, and I had asked them off podcast if they perform that during their shows at all, and it just depends on the set and what atmosphere they're in and how they want it to go. Understandable, right? You know, you got to work it to the crowd. It's a six-minute song, really. And so I gathered that they don't sing it a lot, and I said, are you going to sing it tonight? And I don't think it was really on their set list for that night, but they instantly just replied, you know what, we'll sing it for you.
Aww.
And I was like, no, first of all, I don't want to intrude on any kind of set. This is your night. You need to sing what you want to sing and send out the vibe that you want to send.
You were the Gipper.
Sing it for the Gipper.
Full circle, Tammy. You know? I love those kind of moments. That's great. The Gipper. Anyway, so they're like, no, we're going to sing it. I'm like, they're not going to sing it. Well, they actually did end up singing it. And Paul, the lead singer, does the vocals on that song. And when he sang that song, there's a note. You hear it in the recording. He holds it. But he played that night and held that note. If I had known he was going to do that, I wish I would have recorded it, because I've never seen someone hold a note that powerful for so long. And I'm just like, this is amazing. The crowd loved it. I'm like, this is a good song. People need to hear your talent on this song. You know, so it went well. But after they were done performing, I said, thank you for singing that. And that note, he's like, I was on the verge of passing out, but I knew Drew was in the crowd
oh my God!
I needed to sing that thing to death, you know? And I'm like, you did it. It was awesome. So thank you to those guys.
Great.
Yeah. They were really amazing.
Oh, now I'm so sad I wasn't there.
I know. Yeah. I'm speaking with two girls who couldn't make the show. You guys are very familiar with these guys though. So, I just appreciated all that. And they really did a slam dunk job. So I'm so glad I got to interview them.
That's so cool.
Any lasting thoughts that came from any of that for you guys?
I mean, I'm just disappointed you didn't do this interview on the Magic Cool Bus.
Oh, that's right. That was really, you were there with me actually during Mile of Music when we got a chance to go.
I was a bit jealous. I was watching somebody's music and then I hear that you guys were on the bus.
I thought that was a fascinating story actually coming off of Mile. Like, it became a bit of a gimmick, if you will, like up and down. They could drive up and down Mile and people all knew that was Long Range Hustle and the Magic Cool Bus. I'm like, I was in that bus. That's a pretty cool bus. Yeah, those guys are just all around fantastic. So big shout out to Long Range Hustle for coming on the show. Yes, please come back. Don't wait too long. We want you back sooner than later. So come back and headline a show here.
Yes.
Is what I say. So before we go, speaking of up north, you know, those guys are way up north. They're up there in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, my roots stem from Minocqua, Wisconsin. And Tammy, you shared an article that just got me cackling, if I can. I'm
curious.
Did
it make you a little loony?
Oh, that was good, Tammy. It did make me a little loony for what's going on here. I'm curious if people have ever heard of the Loon Fallout.
Right.
Have you guys ever heard of the Loon Fallout?
No, this was news to me. When I first saw the article, I thought it was an Onion article.
Like
I thought
this is fake news, right?
Totally like satire, fake, whatever. Yeah. And then I start reading it, and I'm like, this is a thing.
Right. I want to catch our listeners up. I'm going to paraphrase it. You help me with any shacks on this. The Loon Fallout apparently happens up north, especially with these temperature swings that we're having right now in Wisconsin. We went from 80 to 40, right? Pretty much in a matter of days.
We had sunburnt to now I am cold.
Right. And this can affect birds' migration. Didn't think about this, really. You know, so the loons are migrating back up north, and in the meantime, they're just up in the sky flying around trying to do their thing, pick out their next landing spot. But what happens with the temperature swings, they're not adapted to that, and it got cooler a little faster than they expected. So while they're up there flying, they're starting to freeze. They're freezing. The birds are freezing. And so they stop flapping their wings, and they just drop.
They fall.
They just fall. They just fall to the ground. It's the fallout. It's a loon fallout. Is that pretty much
it? It's basically like Duck Hunt. When you shoot them, they just fall. I mean, that's what I'm picturing. They just fall.
Yeah. And as I'm reading this and I'm like, loon fallout, I was thinking about, like, loons are just falling from the sky. I don't understand why. Why are loons falling from the
sky?
These guys. Yeah. I mean, you both read the article on that. I mean, was there more to it?
I mean, I think you summed it up. Okay. When you sent that through for me to check out, Loon Fallout, is this some new band I need to look into? It sounded like a band name.
Great band name.
And then I thought maybe it was something about the Loon Cafe where we hung out before Yam House played in St. Paul, one of the other Mile artists.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe it was that. No, it was an actual feat of nature.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and the article was talking about Minocqua, where Drew's family is from.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking, like, I just want to go there and see some loons. And so in the article, it goes on to say, you know, these loons cannot walk.
I didn't know this.
Either did
loons I. Loons can't walk.
So if you see loons, you need to help them get to water. And they were saying, you know, different bird places. Can't think of the right name.
Sanctuaries and that sort of thing. Yeah.
But like, we need to help the loons.
Yeah.
And the loons, I don't, you know, for the listeners, loons are much bigger than ducks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just to give you a visual.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to help them, and they can't walk, so you have to pick them up.
Yeah, and escort them to the water.
Yeah.
You know, their feet are just for swimming. That's all it's for.
Right.
They're very disproportionate to body.
And they can run on the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drew and I have witnessed this, and there is a video on the socials.
Yeah.
I mean, they run on water, but they can't walk on land.
Yeah, that's something, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, we can walk on land. We can't run on water.
Right. Unless you're Jesus.
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 Jesus. All right, folks. Well, that's how you know we have completed a full episode with two of my besties here on the show. So I couldn't ask for two better co-hosts. Bring them together. Talk about Loon Fallout.
Check out their latest single.
I really want to drink. I want to, you know, we need stickers. Like, with loons, I need one of my minivans. Loons falling.
I think the album art for that should be us three looking to the sky for, like, loons falling.
Us trying to catch them.
Right. Hands out, birds down. Is that the title track?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
We could do a cover of what's that? I Believe I Can Fly. All right, we just need to end this, baby. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. Just saying, like, us three are together recording right now, but we have a very exciting group episode coming up. We're going to feature some new music that we've been listening to because Mile of Music 10 is just around the corner. And yes. So we're just going to dabble on that for a little bit. Plus, Record Store Day is coming up quite soon. So we're going to venture out and see what kind of trouble we can get into because we didn't get into enough trouble tonight.
Not
at all.
So to Long Range Hustle, thanks again for joining us on the show. To you girls, thank you so much for joining me on the show right now. And we will see you soon. And to the rest of the listeners from us, we will
see you around the mile.